Thank you, Barbara, our service host. That's lovely. I just want to say too, isn't it wonderful to have a new bulletin? I hope you were all through with that, Pastor Chris. It's lovely. And it's lovely to see things going forward. It's lovely to see change. It's all part of our growth. And, you know, we've been talking about things changing, and they certainly change. We all live in this wonderful country of Australia, and yet it can be so diverse. We have a son who's living in the middle of floods, and we have a son who's living in the middle of fires. And they've just been on the phone encouraging one another. Robin said to me yesterday, that she's over it, the water. They couldn't go to school for a couple of days. The water's lapping their homes. It's not as bad as some. But the roads are just breaking up, potholes and cracks everywhere. And now the house is just filling with mould. Their clothes are mouldy and everything's mouldy. And now once the rain clears, they'll get that steaming heat. So these are the things that we live in and that we need to adjust to. And you see, we can have goals, we can have plans and goals. And I know that Roxanne said to me last night that she was so thrilled because Ross is a real watchman. He's a real man of God. And he doesn't just love the land because it's a dream of his. It's God's land that's been given to him, and he takes it seriously. And he walked the perimeters of his property on and off all day, watching and keeping watch. And sadly, there were many people that were caught because they didn't understand. And a lot of people felt that they were safe in one area because the fire was on the other side of the road. But you see, Ross realises, as his father, the fire can change very quickly, and it only takes a spark. As we know, spiritually, a spark to set the fire of God going, but it also only takes a natural spark to fly across the road, hit some dry grass, and off it goes. And so in those things, we have to be prepared. We always have to be prepared. And we need to have goals, don't we? And in our everyday life, we have goals for our lives. And, as women, often we set a mark and we think, well, I'm going to clean those cupboards and I'm going to do this. And if we're fortunate, we get around to do it on the time that we've planned. But often misplanned things come into place. But, you know, sometimes we can confuse goals with vision. And today was Vision Sunday. And to me, it was very, very important, as it is every year, but particularly this year, because we're talking about our new name of Grow, and our theme for the year is Grow. And you see, it's important we understand that there is a difference to goals and vision. Goals can be from ourselves, they're man-made, they're from our own wisdom, but you see, vision comes from God. And sometimes we get mixed up and we try to separate ourselves and separate the things of God for us. And we can say, well, as a Christian, I believe in the vision of the church and I'm all into that vision. But then we have something separate for home. No, we're one person. So if you are in the vision that God has given you for this church, it will outwork in every area of your life. We are not separate here to home, because it is who we are, not what we do. And when I've often said, wake up in the morning and I give God thanks and I get into the shower, that's who I am. And that's who I bring to this church. Yes, it's clothed, obviously. But that's who I am, the essence of who I am. And you see, God lays a vision. And the vision comes from God. You know, I've had people say to me, even recently, because of this new appointment with the overseeing the chaplains, you know, oh, look, this sounds exciting. How did you get into all this? You know, or counselling, that seems a really, really good thing to do, to be sitting having cups of coffee with people. Well, it's not like that at all. But, you know, I didn't get into it. It was never anything that was on my heart. It was gone. That's what vision is. I tapped into God's vision. I never, ever sat and thought, I'm going to do this. My only thought was I wanted to be a good wife and a loving mother. And I wanted to be loving to my mother-in-law. And that was a challenge in the early days of my marriage. But there was all I wanted to do was to love God with all of my heart and be everything he wanted me to be. And look, it's just been a journey. I have never, ever sought God and said, God, I want to do this. Let me do this. Because when it's God's anointing on your life, it will come. If your heart is to him and you've set your heart on him to love him with all your heart and to serve him with every ounce of your being and to keep your life sweet before him, to confess your sin, to put relationships right and all the things God calls us to do, then God already knows. When you're sown into the womb, we talk about our identity, we talk about our being. That's all part of the vision. And then you see, as Pastor Chris said today, it is no accident that we're here together. I often say to the ladies when we're all gathered together, you know, look at us. Sometimes we look and we think we're an odd bunch. When you think about it, I don't mean we're odd, but there are some of us that would never mix with each other. And yet God's thrown us together. Why? Because that's his purpose. That is his purpose and that is our vision. To be here together, all in one place. And it's very important we understand that. And you see, if we get that right, we'll have it right. Because part of the vision for God is that we sing about it, about raising up the generations. And I love that. And you see, to be in God's will, and if we honour him and trust him, of course, as our children grow, they'll have areas of their life and challenges and things that will come upon them. And I believe that's why God is bringing that word tonight, because that unity is God-given, that sweetness is God-given, and we need to encourage our children to have that. But it's through our example, it's through our teaching and the teaching we have. And so God doesn't have a vision for the church and a vision for your home. It all comes together in one vision. We become who we are. And as we bring who we are here, that is it. And so obviously we know that every ship, every situation must have a captain. And when we think, I've been speaking for the last couple of times about Joshua. And you see, I often think about Joshua and have done for many times in my life. And I can see where Joshua was, because like me, Joshua never sought anything for himself. He sought to serve his master. He sought to be obedient to Moses. He sought to honour God. And then when Moses died, God called him. But you see, all of those things were imparted and in place in his life, because when he was part of the 12 that went to spy on Canaan, and you see, the others saw the giants and were fearful, but Caleb and Joshua saw the potential. Why? Because they were looking with the eyes of vision. They were looking for what God had sown into them. And so we see that Pastor Chris can stand, and our vision is grow. We're to grow. And truly, not that it matters, but Brett Hayden said to me this morning, "Oh, Grandma, I like your outfit. You look all green and growy." And I said, "Well, that was the idea. I bought this last year and I kept it for today." Because, and John said to me, "I haven't seen that before." I said, "No, I've had it waiting for today." Because it was so special to me. Because today is a new day. It's our Vision Sunday and it's about grow. And I want to keep growing. We all have to keep growing. There is still much that I have to learn. And so our vision is grow. And we need to understand, each one of us. Pastor Chris can stand there, and Pastor John and whoever, and can really lay it all out, as Pastor Chris did so wonderfully this morning. But unless it's sown into our hearts, unless we decide to get on board, then it won't happen. We read in Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." And so we know the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and it gives us chunks of knowledge to help us understand and be enlightened about the things of God. The word vision is of great importance. In this context, the word refers to God's revelation through the prophets, divine vision. And where such does not exist, the people have no standard other than themselves to guide them, and they will fall. Now you see, we can plan goals and they can fail, but we can always make new goals. But you see, if we don't have a vision, if we don't have a God-given direction for our lives, we're like ships that sail aimlessly in the sea. The word came to mean to see the future. To see the future. And you see, vision means it's God's word. God's word is the vision. About 230 years ago, a shipload of many people came and to take a home in Australia, to settle on the coast of Australia. And the first year that they were in Australia, they worked hard and they established a town site, and then they elected a small government. And then the town government decided to build a road 5 miles into the forest. And history tells us that the people tried to rebel against it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. They said it was a waste of time to build a road into 5 miles into the wilderness. Why bother? Here were people who had vision to see themselves thousands of miles across treacherous seas and hunger and all sorts of things to get where they were going, and then they dropped the vision and didn't have vision to build a road 5 miles. Now you see, that can happen to us. With a clear vision of what we can become in Christ, there's no ocean of difficulty, there's no storm of life that can deter us. Now, as I said before, and not to make it sound, praise God, Ross, the fire didn't come any closer to Ross than about 6 kilometres. And Gary and Robin are surrounded with water, but they're not underwater. But even so, no matter what, no matter what situation that they are in, their vision hasn't changed. You see, nothing, if it's in God, nothing can hinder that. No storm, no trial, no disappointment, no terror. In fact, if we're really in Christ, it will make us stronger to that vision. We'll hold on to it more and more because it is our whole purpose, our whole identity. And we need to remember that. We need to have a clear vision. Church, we need to grasp this vision. Not hearing it in our ears, not having to be reminded, we need to know the vision. It's up around us, but we need to know what the vision of this church is. Webster's Dictionary says, it's a faculty of sight, it's an unusual foresight, it's a mental image produced by imagination, the experience of the supernatural as if with the eyes. So vision is the ability to see, which is awareness, the faith to believe, which is attitude, and the courage to do, which is action. They are the three important steps in vision. We need to be able to see like Joshua, not the difficulties, not the obstacles, but to see the vision and know that the vision does not alter because it's hidden in Christ Jesus. And that's where we get mixed up, because we mix up goals and purposes with vision. And so we think, well, we can change it and get a new vision tomorrow. And that's where it's sad when people get dissatisfied and they leave churches for no reason or do things that are not really profitable because they've not really caught hold of vision. I read a story about a schoolboy who brought his homework home, his school card report home at the end of the year. His mother and father looked at it and they were horrified at his low grades. His father looked at him with a very stern face and said, "Well, my lad, what have you got to say about this?" And the young lad with a big smile says, "Well, there's one thing for sure, Dad. You should be very proud of me because I didn't cheat." And so we see the difference between pessimism and optimism. Which way do you look at things? And so it's true, he didn't cheat. But obviously the grades had to be looked at. There are two birds, well, there are many birds, but two birds I want to speak about. There's the vulture and the hummingbird. And they fly over our deserts, over our Central Australia areas. All the vultures see is rotting meat, because that is what they look for. They thrive on that diet. But hummingbirds, they ignore the dead birds around them and the smell and the stench of flesh and dead animals. Instead, they look for colourful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But the hummingbird lives on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with the freshness of life. And each bird finds what it is looking for. And so do we. What are you looking for? What is your vision? Because whatever it is what you will see. How far you see And sometimes difficulties and things in our life can cause us to look away or blink. But you see, the wise person, if they're out in the sun, they put a shade over. And you see, what we need to do is ask Jesus to put a shade over those things that will distract us and keep us focused clearly on him and what his vision is for our life. And if we do that, we'll all come together with that vision in our hearts and in this church. Satan's greatest attack on vision that God gives us is our attitude. And again, our attitudes can cause us to lose the vision. Now, that's another thing. No matter how we feel towards it, the vision never changes. We think we can change the vision. We can't change God's direction. We can change a goal, but we can't change a vision. What God has sown in here has been sown in the heavenlies. God already knew about Westvale before any of us came to being. Grow, Westvale as it was. He knew the people that would be here. And you see, sometimes we think, oh, it's our good idea. But if we really pray, as our pastor does in the oversight, then we know it's God directed. And we need to tap into what the Holy Spirit is saying, because that's what God had planned for us as a vision. Faith is the food that vision lives on. Without faith, our vision will wither on the vine. And we don't want that. We see grapes and olives and things with all this heat, where things are just withering on the vine and they're not growing. As long as I just see it, that is time between me and God. But when it becomes to putting that vision into place, into action, it involves other people. It involves unity. It involves where two or three are gathered together. In Habakkuk, and I've preached on this, this particular passage, but it's very, very important. Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And so we are to have the vision written on our hearts. We are to know it. We are to feel it. We are to become a part of it. The courage of vision is to say, Lord, if that is you, let me come walking on water. The courage of vision is to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you do that, we will raise up the generations and this church will burst. The courage of vision is to say, if God be for us, who can stand against us? We need to say that every day. If God is for me, who can stand against me? This thing will just flee because God has won the victory. The courage of vision is to say the trials of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory of the next. We are not here by chance. We are here by appointment. And we are on a journey that leads to glory. And God allows us to glimpse that glory every so often. God allows us to glimpse that glory. We see wonderful things here, but in the spirit we can glimpse that glory. Our vision must be spirit-born, spirit-fed and spirit-led to accomplish anything that we might do. Sometimes people don't see things properly. And the way to see vision, I saw a sign once and it stuck with me, and it said that a good eye is one that looks to God. That's where your eyesight's good. When you look to God and allow God to give you the vision and see the direction. Vision includes faith. We must have the faith to believe. Even tonight, as I was sitting here early in the service, the Lord spoke to me about praying for Brendan and Hayden. And you see, the flesh comes in and says, well, you know, and I said, Lord, show me this is really from you. Because people say, oh, you do that because it's your grandchildren. That's not true. It was because God told me, and I must be obedient to what he calls. And that is standing in God, not allowing our emotion or our preconceived ideas to separate us from the things that God calls us to. And I know that God told me to bring that word tonight. And so we must stand on those things and know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he will keep me in that vision. A Sunday school class was asked to go home and count the stars in the sky. Could you do that, Matthew? The next lesson they came and they had very different stories to tell. Some said they saw 100, some said they saw 1,000, some said they saw 1,000,000. And they're only small children, so they couldn't have counted 1,000,000, but they'd obviously heard someone say that. Finally, the teacher asked one little boy who was standing quietly and hadn't said anything, "Tommy, how many stars did you count?" He said, "Oh, I only counted 3. The teacher said, "How did you only see 3? He said, "Oh, I guess we've only got a small backyard." And you see, that's our problem. When it comes to believing, we can have a small backyard. We see things through a very little hole. We see things through a very little area when God wants us to see big. You don't need much faith. It's the size of a mustard seed to believe that anything is possible in God. I read a few weeks ago, I was doing some study about something. I came across something about Columbus. And it really struck me that when Columbus was writing his diary and when men many years after read it, they came across page after page that simply said, "This day we sailed on." What a testimony. "Today I sailed on, no matter what. No matter the storms of life, no matter the heartache, no matter the disappointment, because he had a vision, he had a course, and he sailed on." Can you say that? "This day I sailed on. Lord, with you I can do it. I can sail on in you." Anybody can start a race, but it's finishing the race that's important. God has given us a vision. And you see, we need to be very careful. And like I said to Hayden and Brennan, we have to be careful we don't get into comparisons. We know today that, and I'm going to show a power clip in a minute, there are many churches in our area and all around, and sometimes we can look at churches and we can think, "Oh, they're doing this and why don't we do this?" God is not in the business of copying. If I tried to be like Susie, I would look ridiculous because God has made me. Or Muriel. I'm not Muriel. And I remember when I was a very, very young Christian, a baby Christian, and I was I was converted in a Presbyterian church at the Billy Graham Crusade, but of course John's family were Presbyterians and so I went along. And I used to look at these very stately ladies in their hats and their gloves. And there was one lady in particular, I used to watch her. And to me, she epitomised a Christian woman. She's my very dear friend to this day, and we often laugh about it, because eventually she caught on to what I was doing. But she was so different to me. She's very, very quiet. She's very, very petite. And she's gentle. And so I tried to be like her. And I used to walk around and I'd have my tongue between my teeth because I'm chatter. And everyone was saying to John, "What's wrong with Pat? Is there something wrong?" Because it was unnatural. And so one day she came to me and I even, you know, she used to wear a little pearls around her neck and so I'd wear little pearls around my neck. And so she came to me and spoke to me and I praise God she loved me enough and she was strong enough to be able to share with me that I didn't have to imitate her. Although we do to a point, but I was to imitate Christ and to be free in who I was. And I went through a journey then of learning what it meant to be free and that with my personality and my outgoings, I was as precious to Christ as she is. And as I said, we're still the closest of friends. I just love her so dearly. And we often laugh about it because we cannot be somebody else. The same as this church. It's like God showed me many years ago. It's like a packet of lifesavers. You've got one packet with lots of different flavours. And that's what we are. And the Sunday school song says, Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle shining in the light. In this world of darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. It's like a garden with different varieties. We are all here to do our part. We are all here. And so we can praise God for other churches and what they're doing. Never, ever do anything but praise God for them because if they're out there winning in the kingdom, we bless them. And they are our brothers and sisters. We'll all be in heaven together. There'll be no distinctions then. But praise God for what he's doing here. He has a unique vision for us here in this church, and we need to know what that's about. Now, we know what the Great Commission is. It's to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men. And so, as my husband often says, we could have another 20 churches in this area and it still wouldn't be enough. There are so many people. There are so many people for us to reach. So don't get caught up in looking at someone else's vision. Know what our vision is. Know what God's called you to do. And then as you break it down and you think about the vision for the church, God wants us to become all that we were meant to be individually. And then we will bring that into this church. And God has work for all of us. He's made us special. But in that specialness, he's given us a responsibility. And this requires for us to make a commitment. And you see, when we say that we don't understand the vision, when we say, oh, God hasn't shown me the vision, that's the greatest cop-out there is. Because it's your choice. It's like the vulture and the hummingbird. It's what you see. What do you see? When you come before God, what do you see for yourself? And how do you see yourself fitting into this church? If you'd have even told me 2 years ago that I would be embarking on this new venture, I'd have said, no, I won't, because I felt that I was sewn into where I was. And it's not changing. It's the same thing, but just in a slightly different direction. My heart has always been to raise women up, to see women stand in the strength and the authority and to be all God has meant them to be. And so God is continuing to do that. And in this ministry, while I have ministered for many years with domestic violence and things, there'll still be some of that, but not to the stage. And God has shown that that time is changing because of the violence in the world. And I will still minister through the churches. But when I think about, and as Pastor Chris and my husband pointed out to me, and a very dear friend said to me, Pat Tipping, put your arms out and expand your fingers. And then tell me what your heart has always been. And I told her, and she said, well, how better than to raise up young women? Because some of these young chaplains, a lot of them were teachers, some weren't, but they've trained. And they go into the schools and they don't just deal with children. With the children comes a package, broken parents, violent situations. And then the ones that I've caught up with so far, because I have three at the moment, then they've got the teachers. We've got teachers, and Karen knows about that, the struggles and the pressures the teachers are under in schools. And they're ministering to the teachers. And so to have an opportunity to be able to encourage these young people to stand, to be able to impart all those years of experience the Lord has given me with domestic violence and all of those sort of things, to be able to be available to those girls, what better way than to sow into the kingdom? And so I praise God for that opportunity. I just thank him. And it's all part of his vision for me and for this church, because as we know, where one is honoured, all is honoured. Where one is blessed, all is blessed. And so as I felt to agree, because my heart was just for the oversight to pray for me, and Pastor Chris said, no, it needs to go before the church. That is to encourage you. It's not about me. It's to show you that Grow Church is recognised in the community, that Grow Church is touching the community. All over Victoria, we are touching. Pastor Chris goes overseas. It is this church that he represents. It's this vision that he takes with him. Be excited about the vision. Be excited about the vision. God wants to do awesome things. Would you show that PowerPoint now before I finish, please, Joshua?
Supposed to become? How can we best serve our community?
speaks very powerfully that we need to know our vision for this church. And God has called us to be that vision. He's called us to minister to where the needs are. And within that vision, as I said, each one has unique ministries. And God will lead and guide you into that ministry, into that calling. So we need to make a commitment. A vision without a task is but a dream. A task without a vision is drudgery. But a vision with a task is the hope of the world. And we are the hope of the world. Do you believe that today? We are the hope of the world because we have within this temple the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ living and indwelling us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is an awesome thing. If you would grab that every day and realise who lives within you, you would find life and the challenges of life a lot easier and the decisions that you have to make a lot easier. Do you want a new vision from God, or do you want to get on board with the vision God has given us? A vision for your life, a vision for your family, and a vision for your church. It all evolves together. It is one. It is one. We need to see where God is taking us, and we need to follow the vision that has been set before us. We are called to grow in our own relationship with Christ, and then to grow as we move out. When you think about growth, when you think about a vine, you know, sometimes I love to watch those programs where they're showing those quick rajad, know what it's called, time lapse, yes, and you see plants just opening up before you. You'll see, especially I love seeing a vine, and you see it just spreading out everywhere. And I just get so excited, and that's what we're to do. We're to grow within ourselves that we will expand out there and touch the nation, touch our community. We need to dare to believe and have faith, not that God can do it, but that God will do it, because that is God's plan. God has not sat us here just to be nice little people that gather together every week and hear a message and go home. We need to know that God will do great things through each one of us. Dare to act, dare to be courageous enough to stand in the vision of what God has called you to. Father, we just praise you and thank you that you have given us a vision. We have a vision for this nation. We have a dream for this land. We have a vision for this community. But Lord, first let us, each one of us, grasp hold of the vision that you have for me within this body of Christ. And Father, may we not look over our shoulders, and may we not be watching what others do, but sowing in, Lord, sowing in with all of our strength and all of our heart and with all of our faith into the place that you have put us, a vision that is glorious, a vision that will be fulfilled because Jesus, you died to fulfill it. And so we thank you and praise you that in Jesus Christ we stand, and in Jesus Christ we will conquer. Amen.